Good morning, my friends. This is Missionary James Robinette with Mission Africa. A blessed Christmas 2020 to you all today. We rejoice in the Lord's goodness. We remember His declaration to us in the Word of God. Jesus has come, born of the Virgin Mary. He has taken on a human nature. He is like us in this regard, yet wonderfully, by the power of the Almighty, He is without sin. He is God's sent Redeemer. He is the eternal Son of God Himself, who has become one of us. He has stooped down to us to meet us at the point of our humanity. He has entered into human life as a human being to become our mediator and to bring about the expiation of our sins. Christ has lived for us. The Son of God became the man, Christ Jesus, the baby born of the Virgin, that He may live a sinless human life and give Himself as a sinless human sacrifice for the sins of the world. All who believe in Him and repent of their sins receive eternal forgiveness of sin and the blessing of everlasting life in His name. We rejoice this day that Jesus has come to save us from our sins and the many troubles that we experience in this world because of our sin. And our hope is that our blessed Lord Jesus Christ will deliver us and then deliver us again and deliver us continually until it is that He finally delivers us at our glorification, when we will blessedly be with Him and love and enjoy Him forever. Friends, you can learn more about our ministry at www.missionafricajk.home.blog. Today, we have three texts which serve as the basis of this sermon entitled Christ Our Hope at Christmas and Always. And these verses are Colossians 1, verse 27, which in the New King James Version of the Holy Bible reads, "To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Our second text verse is found in 1 Timothy 1, verse 1, which reads, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope." And our last text verse is found in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, which reads, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Friends, let us pray. How awesome, how wonderful, how glorious it is, Lord, that Jesus has come to save us and that He has entered into human life and existence as a sinless man for us, and that He lived a sinless life for us and suffered the pains of our sins and death for us. And by Your marvelous grace, Your blessed and sinless, perfect Son, the Son of Man, rose again in mighty and glorious power after 3 days. We give You praise and thanks this Christmas at the remembrance of Your coming to save us, Lord, of Your incarnation. And we thank You that because You have come, we have hope in You. You alone are our hope, Lord Jesus Christ. You are the hope for every person, but especially You are our beloved hope, our Savior and Lord, Master and God. We ask that You would guide us in this time in the Word and worship, and that You will be glorified and praised and blessed, lifted up before us, and that your people will come again in your marvelous grace and love you and honor you and find your multiplied blessings this good day that you've given us. We ask this in your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Friends, though we live in times of great distress, our hope is in the lovely Son of God, today, at Christmas, and always. In Colossians chapter 1, in verses 27 through 29, we see that Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, our God and Master, is called the hope of glory. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Here, Paul teaches that God's will was that the Gentile believers in Colossae would be partakers in the mystery among the Gentiles. That is, the gospel truth revealed at the time of the writing, the apostles' revelation by the Spirit that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, of Jew and Gentiles. Here, he, the hope of glory, is preached. Paul says he warns every man that would hear him, and he teaches every man with all wisdom that he may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Paul has a deep conviction that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. God's gospel saved him, and he knows that every man that Christ bled and died for, that the Father gave him, shall believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and shall be perfected in Christ Jesus, that is, saved from every sin in Christ Jesus. Paul ministered in God-given wisdom to all men, and he labored for this purpose in the gospel, striving according to God's working in him, which was mighty, extremely powerful. Paul labored, and God worked in him with all power, and God's people were saved from their sins, because Christ Jesus is the hope of glory. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is called our hope. That verse says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. He is writing to young Timothy, and as an apostle commissioned, sent by God to preach the good news to the Gentiles, by the commandment of God, Paul has preached, and the Lord Jesus Christ has given him commandment to preach the gospel. In God's covenant of grace, God is a great Savior. And in God's covenant of grace, Jesus Christ is the mediator of the new covenant and the basis of our hope. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, which says, Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul calls God the God of hope. That is, he is the true and living God who brings his people into the hope of salvation in the gospel. He fills his saved people with all joy and peace in believing as they trust him. Paul's desire for the Roman believers, for all believers, is that they may abound in hope by the powerful working of the Holy Spirit in them. Christian hope is a certain expectation of the fulfillment of the promise of God to save believers to the uttermost, that they shall be glorified in Christ Jesus. This is not a half-hearted hoping for, as our English word connotes, but this is a full-hearted conviction of certain expectation. That is, this is a certain, a promised fulfillment. And hope in this sense means waiting for God to fulfill his promise ultimately, though a believer who hopes now also enjoys the present aspect of salvation and the past aspect of salvation, in that all of his sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ is our hope now and always. It is my hope and desire for you, dear listener, that you will be blessed in God's grace, love, and peace at Christmas and always. As is probably true for everyone who is listening today, we think often these days to ourselves and say to one another, what a year this has been. My wife and I expected a great deal of change in coming back to the USA after 5 years since our last visit in 2015, and we also expected to find America a different place than it was when we left for Africa in 2004, but we did not at all expect that the changes and challenges in America and worldwide this year would be as great as they are. In late March, when we flew from Kampala to Chicago, as planned some years before, the COVID-19 pandemic was just beginning to result in travel restrictions. In fact, we changed our flight reservations 3 times and were then able to fly just before the airport in Entebbe was closed to international travel, not via Europe, but via Doha, Qatar. We found O'Hare Airport to be practically deserted, it seemed, and that it was necessary to quarantine for 2 weeks at the mission house. Through friends, we felt like Elijah at the brook Cherith in 1 Kings chapter 17, who brought us food. We hid away and carefully listened to and saw the state and federal government TV updates about slowing the spread and saving lives by staying home. This seemed all so real and near as the church we are members of in the Chicago area suffered the loss of several of her people due to the virus. For us, the time at home went along fairly well. We accepted the necessity of the guidelines. We saw the sense and the government recommendations, including wearing masks, and we chose to wear gloves when out, and a book that I read in Mali last year came to mind. It was about a deadly infectious outbreak of yellow fever which claimed many lives in the USA in the 1800s, and we both had seen the effects of Ebola and HIV in East Africa and knew that infectious diseases were not to be trifled with. Then, as you remember, the violence and rioting in U.S. cities started, and this heightened the distress that we were already feeling. Probably like you, we were stunned that this was happening in America and right before our eyes on the TV screen. The time at home did provide ample time for prayer and study, and we felt an urgency to pray about the pandemic, the violence, and the welfare of family, friends, and co-workers around the world. As summer came this year, we geared up for our move to Florida and into settling into a new place and culture. We made the move and are still in the midst of the change that we knew we would go through in our adjustment time. The Lord has guided us and provided for us faithfully in these months of change and distress, and probably like you, we are adjusting to what is the present new normal. And like many missionaries who are really sidelined in many ways now, we are seeking the Lord about these great issues that confront us all and what the future and future ministry will look like. One lesson we've learned repeatedly this year is flexibility, and that we must wait on the Lord for his timetable and plan to be made clear. For instance, we didn't visit churches when we were in the Chicago area suburbs because of the virus restrictions, and we had planned and hoped to visit friends in the Chicago area in November. But some friends and churches shared with us that their churches are not sure how their meetings will be done now, and that it would be best to wait to visit until things are more stable. The fear that the infection rates, hospitalizations, and deaths in the colder weather would increase seems so far to be well-based. I'm recording this sermon in late November, And at this time, there have been over 260,000 deaths attributed to COVID-19 in the United States. The hospitalization rate is greatly increasing, and the death rate is also increasing. So we continue to wait on the Lord, and we ask Him for wisdom about His will for us in these trying times. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. This verse, Proverbs 16:9, seems so fitting for many reasons this year. Yet Romans 15:13 speaks of the glorious truth that the Lord, the God of hope who doesn't change, fills His people with joy and peace in believing, so that we abound in hope as the Spirit works powerfully to give us hope. This abounding hope is an ever-increasing, certain expectation that we shall be glorified in Christ Jesus, that He is the true and living God, that He is alive from the dead. He was crucified for our sins. He died, but He lives now and forevermore to save us from our sins. And He shall save us to the uttermost by His marvelous grace. Like you, we have undoubtedly seen the Lord's goodness, mercy, and grace in this time of trial. He gives us hope, and we have great hope for the future because He does that. He has answered many prayers during this time, and He sustains us daily. He works to give us a certain expectation that His goodness and grace will not fail us. Though the times are dangerous and uncertain, our hope in Christ Jesus is certain. The Lord has promised good to us today and every day, and He cannot lie. As I look back at the last 7 months, I see that we have experienced many hardships and anxieties. We're sure like you have, but as David wrote in Psalm 94:19, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. We, with David, have also experienced a sure and unfailing hope in Christ, and our distress is abated by God's comforts, presence, and grace. Psalm 31, verse 24 says, "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." And because our hope is in Jesus, not in circumstances, relationships, or conditions in this world, we overcome by faith in Jesus and through Jesus. He is our sure hope and strength, our unfailing and certain expectation. I desire to encourage you, dear friend, that as the Lord has written, we are to look to the Lord and not to the things of this world. If we merely look about us, we will be brought into great distresses and uncertainty. If we look merely within us, we will be brought into great despair as we see our sinfulness in this great struggle against sin that each true believer is engaged in. We will be tempted to discouragement as we see the great sin yet within us and that we commit. If we look to Christ, we will be brought into peace and rest and God's unfailing grace. We will be filled with joy and peace in believing in Jesus Christ by the God of hope, and we will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. We will more than overcome the trials, difficulties, discouragements, and dire circumstances about us. About this hope, Psalm 71 verse 14 says, "But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more." Psalm 119 verse 14 says, "You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your word." Notice the hope and trust in God's declared will, the word of God, which promises clearly, ultimate glorification and the end of all pain and suffering in Christ Jesus, in God's glorious presence. And Lamentations 3 verse 26 says, "It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. Because we are not yet glorified, we must hope and wait quietly for our eternal deliverance that is coming in the future, perhaps very soon for many of us who are listening today. Because God is our hiding place and our protector, our shield, we are enabled by His powerful Spirit to wait quietly and calmly in stillness of heart as we are settled, though we are agitated by the great distresses and trials that have shaken us and shaken everyone." 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8 says, "But let us who are of the day, that is of the light, be sober, serious-minded, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." The trust in God's fulfillment, which is coming to us, everlasting, complete salvation. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 7 and 8 say, "Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. We who are saved have been made loving in Christ Jesus. And this love hopes all things. It believes, it hopes in all things that are true that God has declared to us. And so our hope is certain. Hebrews 6 verses 18 and 19 says, "We might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." What wonderful verses. The truth is that Jesus, our Savior, our Lord and God, has gone before us. He has entered for us into the presence of God. He has become our high priest, an eternal high priest. He is a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, that is, without beginning of days or ending of days. Our Savior has entered the very presence of God in the Holy of Holies. In heaven, He has entered behind the veil, so that we have a hope, an anchor of our souls. We are anchored in Christ Jesus, to Christ Jesus. Our hope is sure and steadfast. Our hope leads us to enjoy strong comfort, strong consolation. We have fled for refuge to Christ Jesus, our hope of glory. And we have laid hold of Him by faith. We have laid hold of the hope that is set before us. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ is our hope, my friends, and so our hope is certain. God's promise to His people is that He, the God of all hope, will fill us with joy and peace as we trust Him, and that we will abound in hope by the powerful workings of the Spirit of God. And in that precious promise, we take encouragement now, we rejoice at Christmas, and as a great hymn says, "Be still, my soul, the Lord is on your side. Bear patiently the cross of grief or pain. Leave to your God to order and provide. In every change He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, your best, your heavenly friend, through thorny ways leads to a joyful end." As we rejoice in our hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank Him for His love and kindness so fully shown to us. Glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank God for you, dear friend. Thank you for the comfort you bring to us in this time of trial and transition. Please know that we ask the Lord for His grace, blessing, joy, and peace for you today. A blessed Christmas to you and your family. William Jay, from centuries ago, has written, "Infinite and eternal good awaits us, awaits all in Christ Jesus." The hope of glory, the Lord Jesus Christ, is spoken of and is prophesied about by His mother in human nature, Mary. In Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 46, we see Mary's hope in her Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, who saved her from her sins. "My soul magnifies," that is, declares the greatness of the Lord, "and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for He has regarded the lowly state of His maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. And His mercy is on those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forevermore." We see Mary's great hope, her belief in the promises made to Abraham and to Israel, to the forefathers, to her personally, and to all who believe in her blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I end this encouragement at Christmas to you, dear friend. Let us look to the Lord, the hope of glory, and by God's grace, we shall be blessed in Christ Jesus. Let us look to Him and pray to Him. Lord Jesus, great God and Savior, we feel Your powerful workings in our souls, in our hearts. You have blessed us indeed, and we are encouraged and strengthened today because You are our hope. You have worked absolutely and with all certainty. We believe that You will fulfill Your promises. You will bring us to Yourself into eternal glory. And You have saved us from every sin, our past sins, our present sin, which grieves us, and from our future sins. You are our strength and our song. You have become our salvation. And with Mary, we rejoice in You today, and we rejoice in Your powerful work to save us from our sins. Thank You that You were born of Mary for us. Thank You that You lived a sinless life for us, and that You died the bloody death of the cross for us, and that You are alive forevermore for us, and that You are our great High Priest, that You will forever save us from our sins. We give You glory and praise, and we enjoy You, Lord. How gracious, wonderful You are. We honor You, Lord Jesus Christ, this blessed day, and it's in Your name that we pray. Amen and amen. A blessed Christmas to you once again, and until next Lord's Day morning, enjoy peace, grace, blessing, comfort, strong consolations, and hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend.